This podcast homily is part of a series of homilies for Whitsunday Pentecost and the Sundays in Trinity season in worship using the 1928 Book of Common Prayer. Welcome to this podcast homily for the 23rd Sunday after Trinity. I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church. These homilies are always found on the podcast homilies page at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. The epistle reading is Philippians 3, verses 17 to 21. Another from his message to the Philippians, but this time concerning those whom he had taught and who have fallen away from faith in Jesus Christ, and, quote, whose God is their belly, and, quote, whose end is destruction. He counsels awareness that their citizenship is in heaven, meaning not of any earthly realm, and that it is to Christ only that Christians look for their salvation in the expectation of transformation from their earthly mantle to the, quote, body of his glory. The gospel reading, Matthew 22, verses 15 to 22, is a story of conflict between the secular and religious authorities, one not unlike the conflicts between church and state in our time, in this case, another attempt by the Pharisees to catch Jesus out in a mistake which they or others could use against him in asking about the likeness of Caesar on a coin. They are not interested in religious truth when they raise the question, is it lawful to pay tribute to Caesar? Their real expectation is that no matter how Jesus answers, someone powerful will be alienated against him. If his answer were no, Roman authorities would conclude that the emerging Christian faith was conspiring to subvert Roman rule. If his answer were yes, Hebrew religious authorities, including these same Pharisees, would accuse Jesus of collaborating in the Roman oppression of the Holy Land. In their vanity, their pride in scheming against him, their refusal to accept him as the Son of the God Almighty whom they claim to worship, they fail to take into account his divine power to know their thoughts. In reply to their question, Jesus says to the Pharisees, "Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money." The Pharisees then produce a denarius, a Roman coin, which represented about one day's wages for the average man. Here they, meaning the Jewish authorities in Jerusalem, have a Roman and not a Hebrew coin in their own pockets. By their own example of having that Roman coin and not a Hebrew coin in their pockets, they have themselves not shown deference to Roman authority over Jerusalem. Jesus examines the denarius, and following the great rabbinical tradition of the Hebrew priests, asks them a question. Whose image and inscription is this? And what could they say but Caesar? Scripture generally does not account for the passage of time within a scene, so we don't know how long a silence followed that answer. One can speculate that it might have been more than just a second, and that it was Jesus who broke the silence, saying, "Render therefore to Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Jesus has cleverly thwarted their intention with his reply, which in a legal sense gave no offense to anyone, Roman or Hebrew. This text offers us hope in today's world where religious values are clearly in conflict with the demands of the state, both here in the United States and elsewhere in the world. His message is that while some things on earth are part of the secular realm, there is a greater authority, and to him is owed glory, honor, and worship, the true meaning of give to God the things that are God's. This morning's Old Testament lesson for the 23rd Sunday after Trinity reinforces the point. It is the prophet Isaiah who reminds us, "O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, thou art our potter, and we are all the work of thy hands," from Isaiah 64, verse 8. The same point is made in the psalm reading for Trinity 22, from which I take this from Psalm 138, verses 4 and 5. "All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, for they have heard the words of my mouth. Yea, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord." The first of my two closing prayers is a catena of my own composition based upon Psalm 145, verses 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 13, and 1, in that order, which I prepared for the AIC bookstore publication, Prayers in the Christian Tradition. The second is the collect, which Archbishop Cranmer adapted from a late Gregorian sacramentary as it was used in England during the period before the separation from Rome. "Every day will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord. Praise thy name for ever and ever. Great is the Lord, and marvelous worthy to be praised. There is no end of his greatness. One generation shall praise thy works to another and declare thy power. As for me, I will be talking of thy worship, thy glory, thy praise, and wondrous works. For that men shall speak of the might of thy marvelous acts, and I will also tell of thy greatness. All thy works praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints give thanks unto thee. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all ages. I will magnify thee, O God my King, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Amen." O God, our refuge and strength, who art the author of all godliness, be ready, we beseech thee, to hear the devout prayers of thy church, and grant that those things which we ask faithfully we may obtain effectually through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to God for all things. Amen. This program has been a production of the Anglican Internet Church, and we invite you to visit our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.